Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips that we provide our clients. Number one, don't move out of your house just because your wife tells you to. Remember, that's your house too. And number two, don't blow through the financial statements that you file with the court. These are key exhibits, and they often make or break your case. And number three, watch the social networking. Expect your wife's lawyer to do a thorough online search. And incidentally, this is a two-way street. Now, a bonus tip. Partner with your attorney in assembling evidence. You're one of the two leading experts on your life and marriage. Your attorney needs your input to achieve your goals. And finally, talk to your attorney before taking action. Good luck.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on, online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutan. With me, Tan Chung Han. And on the line, we have Stephen Innes, Head of Trading in Asia Pacific for Awanda in Singapore.
Good morning, Stephen. All right, so this week, the U.S. House and Senate will vote on the tax bill proposed by the Republicans. How do you think this will impact the U.S. dollar, at least in the near term?
Well, I don't want to deliver a lump of coal into the dollar bull's Christmas stocking this year, but I think the dovish Fed hike sealed the U.S. dollar's fate heading into 2018. And I think if we're looking at the their view as far as the overall impact of tax reform as it pertains to the U.S. dollar, by them not even moving the dot plot suggests that they're not anticipating a huge economic bounce. So, looking at the last, 72 hours or so of trading that we've had on the U.S. dollar, the Doug Jones victory in the Alabama Senate, the tepid CPI, it really portends to a pretty weak U.S. dollar heading into year end. However, we'll probably get a small bounce once the tax reform is signed. But I think traders are going to use this opportunity to fade the dollar move, just given the immensity and the enormity of the political issues that are going to be faced in the U.S. in 2018.
Now, Stephen, why do you think the Fed doesn't see that huge economic bounce from this proposed tax plan? Because, for example, the corporate tax rate, that is slated to go from the 30s down to 20%, right? Is it because they already have a high base? We have seen how consumer spending and the consumption story in the States, that has been growing tremendously, right? So do you think that's the case here?
Well, I think there's two ways to look at it, whether the Fed will move on the growth narrative or whether the Fed moves on the inflation narrative. I think they're being pretty definitive about the inflation narrative, and this is what's going to trigger the next Fed. Getting back to the tax reform issue, I think we're seeing selective areas in the equity markets benefit from tax reform. And I also don't believe that these companies are benefiting from the tax reform or necessarily going to put more capital back into the economy, but rather perhaps pay stockholders and dividends shares through this break. If we look right now, borrowing costs have been very, very low for the past 5 years, and this alone should have spurred companies into borrowing at near 0% and trying to build their infrastructure on that regard. So I don't see how the positivity from this tax bump is going to affect things right off the bat, at least early in 2018 and perhaps through to 2019.
Got it. And now, Stephen, let's take a look back at last week. We had several major central banks making policy decisions. What are some of your key takeaways there, not just from the Fed that you mentioned earlier, but also from the ECB and the BOE?
Yeah, it looks to me that they're really taking a lot of volatility out of the currency markets by keeping a more dovish narrative in the market by suggesting that they're not looking to raise interest rates too quickly. However, looking at the ECB in particular, I didn't view that as dovish as what the market was viewing. Then again, I didn't really view it that hawkish. But once again, it really portends back to this inflation narrative. However, if we look at the economic data that's coming out of Europe right now, we're seeing PMIs at 11-year highs. We're seeing really strong developments throughout the EU zone, which just suggests to me that perhaps, you know, getting above these inflation targets that the ECB is running on is perhaps not that not a great leap. And then perhaps that this may trigger a more aggressive lean from the ECB. As far as the Bank of England, I think they're more consumed about Brexit. So, you know, it's not really that, you know, that much of a stretch that they were tending to err a little bit on the dovish side. I think they want to see how the Brexit negotiations portend and how that's going to affect the currency markets in specific and how that's going to play through into the economy before really, you know, before making any significant policy decisions.
Now, speaking about central banks, Stephen, what are your expectations for Bank Negara's monetary policy? Because they have got the announcement due a month after Christmas on January 25th.
Interesting storyline. We've seen fantastic economic numbers coming out of Malaysia throughout 2017, and I think this is just a sign that the economy is really picking up. My view is that the BNM are going to move interest rates in January, and that will still keep them below the real interest rate levels. So real interest rates will still be below 0%, which I think is still expansionary. But I think what they're trying to do here is get ahead of inflation, because the oil prices. Rising oil prices could weigh negatively on their inflation outlook. So they're probably looking at two things here. One, tweaking interest rates a little bit higher by getting the bounce off of a stronger currency, as that too will act as a dampener to imported inflation, which is probably front and center in their view. So yeah, so I'm really in the hike camp for January. What's a possible rate hike in Q2 or Q3, subject to economic data and inflation outlooks.
Wait, so possibly multiple rate hikes in Malaysia next year? Is that what you're saying? Just want to clarify that.
Yeah, I am. I think the economy is doing so well. But obviously, there's, you know, it's subject to the economic data, you know, and also if the export levels can maintain. These are quite big ifs because there's a lot of uncertainty as we go into 2018, especially if, you know, central banks start to pull back or start to hike interest rates. There is some idea that this could, you know, temper the global economic recovery, but really I don't see the global economic recovery as a recovery. I see this more of an acceleration. So I'm actually viewing economic growth throughout the world as a serious positive, and I think that narrative is going to continue through 2018. But of course, we have to wait for the economic data coming out of Malaysia to really cement those follow-up interest rate hikes in Q2 or Q3.
Well, hopefully Bank Negara's data dependence will mirror or perhaps won't mirror the Fed's level of data dependence. So all that said, Stephen, with this final question, what's your near-term call on the ringgit?
Yeah, it's actually still going to be trading with a fairly positive view. I think the dovish Fed narrative plays well into the Malaysian ringgit's hands. I think higher oil prices also play well. The stronger economic growth storyline should hold well. And also, if we do get that anticipated rate hike in January, mind you, it may not happen, but provided we do get that rate hike in January, I think we could see the Malaysian ringgit trading down towards 3.90 against the US dollar in early 2018.
3.9 in early 2018, got it. Thank you so much for your time. That was Stephen Innes, Head of Trading in Asia Pacific for Oanda in Singapore.
We'll be back with more news, Mavcom and chickens. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips that we provide our clients. Number one, don't move out of your house just because your wife tells you to. Remember, that's your house too. And number two, don't blow through the financial statements that you file with the court. These are key exhibits, and they often make or break your case. And number three, watch the social networking. Expect your wife's lawyer to do a thorough online search. And incidentally, this is a two-way street. Now a bonus tip. Partner with your attorney in assembling evidence. You're one of the two leading experts on your life and marriage. Your attorney needs your input to achieve your goals. And finally, talk to your attorney before taking action. Good luck.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on, online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.